The Lord be with you. It is good to have you in the Lord's house on this beautiful day that He has given us, this 13th Sunday after Pentecost. A couple of things to note. Bible class starts back up again today, so we will gather in the social hall. 10:30 will kick off with a brief opening, and the kids will go their way, and we will stay there. And Galatians 2, and the hope is that we will finish the book of Galatians at least 1 week before our Lord returns. At this rate, it might take that long. Table talk tomorrow night at Thirsty Barrel down on Neal Street. 6 o'clock, table talk, 6 o'clock. I won't be able to be there, so make sure y'all behave yourselves, please, so we don't get thrown out. I won't be there because our annual circuit retreat up at Myers begins this evening and runs through Tuesday, so that's where I will be for that. Also, this last week, Pastor Walt Steele was here to make a presentation about the work that he's going to do in Kenya, taking over Pastor Fro, and some of the prayer cards, the information cards, there's a few of them where the grace notes are on the table out there, so please pick one of those up to see that as well. Otherwise, the service is before you. We follow that this morning. Please rise and the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 14th chapter. Now great crowds accompanied Jesus as he turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going out to encounter another king in war, will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able, with 10,000, to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is of no use either for the soil or for the manure pile. It is thrown away. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." This is the gospel of the Lord. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. In the name of Jesus, amen. Our Lord Christ uses St. Paul's letter to Philemon today to let you know that your love for your neighbor goes beyond what you say and what you do for your fellow Christians. Christian love for your neighbor also includes you allowing your neighbor to show love towards you. Lots of Bible passages talk about your love for your neighbor in terms of the way that you treat others. John the Baptist's sermon at the Jordan River even makes it sound like most of your love for your neighbor is what you must do. They asked John, "What then shall we do?" And he answered them, "Whoever has two tunics is to share with him who has none. Whoever has food is to do likewise." And parts of the Sermon on the Mount follow that same line of thinking, emphasizing your love for neighbor in terms of the way that you treat others. Jesus says, "If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go 2. Pray for those who persecute you. Whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also for them. For this is the law and the prophets." So God our Father speaks about your love for your neighbor in terms of the way you treat others. But the gears shift in today's epistle. St. Paul uses his relationship with Philemon to explain to you that your love for neighbor goes beyond what you do. And so our Lord wants you to know that your love for your neighbor is also about what you let your neighbors say and do for you. And that's why St. Paul says to his friend Philemon, "Brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ." Now, there are probably plenty of good-sounding reasons why you might hesitate to let others show love for you by serving you in your time of need. But those good-sounding reasons might not actually be as good as they sound. Be careful that you don't sin against God and your neighbor by resisting the love that your neighbor brings to you from God. Now, you might not want to tell other people about your needs or about your struggles because you want to be independent. And independence is a strong virtue for us as Americans. But independence is a sin in the Holy Christian Church, among the communion of saints. Because independence is simply a nice way of saying, "I don't need or I don't want help from anybody." And independence is really just another word for pride. Pride is one of those 7 deadly sins. By not wanting help from your neighbor, you place yourself dangerously close to not wanting help from God. Jesus doesn't want you to be independent of one another. He wants you to rely on each other just as you rely on Him for all things. And that's why St. Paul tells the Corinthians, "You are the body of Christ. And members of the body have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together." Now, you may also feel tempted to not turn to others when you're in need, Because you might think that your neighbor just doesn't have enough to give to you. And over the last 20 years, I've lost count of the times that someone has called me and said, "I'm sorry to bother you. I know you're busy. But isn't that why I'm here, though? For you." Look around and ask yourself, why are all of these people in your life, if not for you to love them and for them to love you? You may hesitate to tell your neighbor about your needs because maybe you don't want your neighbor to grow impatient with you, or because you don't want to wear out your welcome with your neighbor who loves you. But who put you in the place of deciding how much love your neighbor should show to you before enough is enough? Jesus wants you to think the best of your neighbor, and predetermining how much time or patience that your neighbor might have for you goes against that. So if you think your neighbor is stingy, what does that say about our Lord and our God who placed that neighbor in your life in the first place? God says through St. Paul, rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. And showing love for your neighbor, it can be hard to do. It's not love for your neighbor when you take advantage of him, just as it's not love for your neighbor when you ignore his needs and put him off. It's also not love for your neighbor when you prevent your neighbor from loving you, when you doubt how much he has to give, or when you don't even bother to ask. And so it's this aspect of love for neighbor, allowing others to show love for you. That's what St. Paul is talking about with Philemon. St. Paul writes to him, "I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ." And so he isn't just talking about having confidence in his friend Philemon, his fellow Christian. He's also talking about having trust and confidence in God. St. Paul knows that our Lord uses people like Philemon to love and to care for him. So in the same way, God uses people like your neighbors to love and care for you. And that's why St. Paul says, "I want to receive some benefit from you in the Lord." Now, if you want to push it just a little bit, you might even go so far as to say that your Christian neighbor provides benefits to you in a way that's not terribly different from the way that Holy Baptism and Holy Communion provide benefits to you. Because what is Holy Baptism? It's something wonderful that God has attached to something so very simple. Baptism is the loving care of God. It is the forgiving power of His Word delivered to you in simple water. And what is Holy Communion? It is something divine which has joined itself to something earthy. It is the physical presence of Christ Jesus, crucified body and bread, the same blood shed on the cross joined to wine, and through that bread and that wine become body and blood. Jesus comes to you, forgives you your sins, raises you up from all of your sorrows. And so what is your neighbor? Your neighbor's like the water of baptism, the bread, and the wine of Holy Communion, because your neighbor is God's delivery system for you. Your neighbor is the way in which God Himself cares for you in your time of need and comforts you in your time of distress. Our Lutheran confessions say, "The gospel offers counsel and help against sin in more than one way, for God is surpassingly rich in grace. First, He speaks through the spoken word, by which He forgives sins in preaching to the whole world. Second, through baptism. Third, through the holy sacrament of the altar. Fourth, through the power of the keys. And finally, through the mutual conversation and consolation of the brethren." The gospel offers counsel and help to you through the mutual conversation and consolation of the brethren. That's why St. Paul looks so confidently to his neighbor Philemon. And this is why you may look with the same confidence towards your neighbors in Christ. Now, not all of your neighbors will be able to help you all in the same way. This is true. But where one of them is weak, another one is strong. Where one has only a little, another has much. Where one stumbles, another is faithful. Yet they are all able to love you in Christ. Therefore, love your neighbor by allowing your neighbor to love you too. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.